So what's in the mailbag?
We've got some nice emails this week. So Anne has written in and said, thanks for the segment with Dr. Gemma Sharp. And that ran last week where we talked about weight stigma in healthcare, discussions about weight in general practice in Australia. Anne says, I'm a GP early in my career. Welcome, Anne. I have lived experience of an eating disorder.
I think we're getting more GPs listening since you've been presenting the program.
That's a good thing, Norman.
Is
That's
it?
A good thing.
Okay.
It is.
I'm sure it is.
You sound skeptical,
no,
my
it
goodness.
Is. It's good. I love GPs.
I have lived experience of an eating disorder, so I talk to many patients about disordered eating and body image issues. I think, unfortunately, we still live in a society that idealises thinness and promotes disordered eating, and I wholeheartedly agree. I have prescribed semaglutide for one patient who had an active eating disorder and lives in a larger body. I only did this after we had established a good relationship. She was open about her eating disorder thoughts and behaviours, and she had a treatment team who supported the plan. I was so relieved to hear Dr. Sharp saying she thinks that GLP-1s can be safely used for patients like mine. I've followed her research for years and trust her as an authority on this.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Anne.
And just a bit of decoding there, semaglutide is Ozempic or Wegovy. That's the active ingredient. And the next one's from Kelly,
who says, I really wish that transcranial magnetic stimulation was more available for people. So that was TMS and the story you did about at-home TMS for depression.
Yeah, and in the clinic. It was mostly about in the clinic TMS, but that's right.
I clearly didn't listen. So Kelly
so
says,
Priya, do you listen to the health?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. But sometimes I tune out, Norman, because I'm also doing the washing. Alas. Kelly, the first time I received it, I went from actively battling suicidal ideation every waking moment and many sleeping moments to not having the ideation at all after fewer than 10 treatments of standard TMS. I was discharged after 4 weeks. This lasted more than 4 years. I was also able to drop medication doses during that time.
And interestingly, Kelly's actually so committed, she's prepared to take part in a randomised control trial where they're giving a drug in addition to transcranial magnetic stimulation to see whether or not you get better results. So well done, Kelly. And just worth saying before we go on is it's really, if you've got a chronic problem, whether it's heart disease, whether it's migraine, whatever it is, and the current drugs aren't doing that well for you, you should be asking whether, you know, particularly if you're seeing a non-GP specialist, is there a clinical trial open for my condition? And particularly in cancer, we really, you know, people do better on a clinical trial in cancer than not. So you should, it's really worth finding out whether there are clinical trials on because you're highly likely to benefit from it. There is a website, a government website about active clinical trials that you can find out about clinical trials for your condition. And we'll have a link to that in our show notes. Just a hobby horse of mine that a lot of clinical trials don't get going because people, they can't recruit people. And
People don't know about them. I often share them on my social media. If they're reputable, because people don't know about them.
They don't.
Yeah. So well I'm done. Helping the cause, Norman.
You are. And one of the things that Paul Fitzgerald, who we had on last week, the expert in transcranial magnetic stimulation, talked about the limited availability of repeat treatments with TMS. You know, Kelly also says there is a rebate for a single repeat treatment of transcranial magnetic stimulation. But there's a limit to how many repeats that you can get. And Paul's point was, well, there are no limits to lots of other treatments. Why should there be with TMS? But thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. Can I add one to the mailbag, Norman, which came through the corridor at the ABC for me today from Damien Carrick, who hosts the Law Report.
Right.
Who said that he loved our session on rosacea and is actually treating his rosacea now with over-the-counter therapies from the episode.
Well, now that you've added a mailbag, let me add one. One of my close friends who has rosacea said to me that she got more out of your conversation with the University of Melbourne dermatologist than she's got out of two dermatologists in her own experience.
Interestingly, Damien said something similar. So we're doing something right here.
We are.
Yeah, if you have topics you want us to cover, please tell us, or just nice things or suggestions or corrections, anything, we'll take it all. The address is healthreport@abc.net.au.
And don't forget our sister podcast, Watch That Rash, which this week we're looking at lead in protein powder. Just when you thought it was safe to go out,
there's lead.
Screw you over with your protein powder.
I don't use any, do you?
No.
Oh, there you go. I'll listen anyway. See you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.